Okay, so I will officially call to order the Select Board, Taunahe Select Board meeting. Today is Thursday, January 11th, 2024. The meeting is being recorded, audio recorded. And first item, review of agenda. Hilma, anything?
Well, if we want to bring up the January, the possibility of the January 26th meeting.
Yeah, I've got that on my list.
Okay.
Anything else, Sue?
Audit.
Lisa?
Yes, a follow-up with the email that I think we all received from Hilma today about the district local technical assistant request form. I had a few questions about that very quick. And also, I don't know if you have anything to share about the salt shed.
I'll just put that in
somewhere
with highway.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's it. Thank you.
All right, so the first item, that's it. The first item we have is our minutes. So we're gonna take a look at the Taunahe Select Board meeting minutes for Friday, January 5th, 2024. Sue?
Sorry, Hilma.
Yeah?
No.
You found
You didn't get all squeaky clean this time.
Oh, I missed it.
On the first page, under town coordinator position.
Yeah.
Last sentence.
Yeah.
Evaluation will be evaluated.
No.
Sounds good to me. We'll continue.
Darn it.
To be. Okay.
Will we continue to be reviewed? Or
how about just evaluation of the position will continue in the future?
Yeah.
I think that's what you meant to say.
Yep, that's what I meant to say.
On the front page again, under Community Hall Window Fundraisers,
mm-hmm.
Second line, you have two as T-O, and I believe it's supposed to be T-W-O.
The very first word?
Nope, second. The second two.
There have been two amendments made.
Okay.
And on the second page under Salt Shed,
mm-hmm.
Fourth line, determining where to build a new salt shed and to ask if the present location is used, what it means for Gray Road.
Oh, instead of is, it should be and.
Can't read because I crossed off the word that was there.
But it was is.
Do you see that? To build a new shop.
You find it?
An important consideration is determining where to build a new salt shed is to ask if the present location is used.
Well, I think it's
not with a comma she's put in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it was supposed to be new salt shed and to ask.
No, that's not what I meant. Because that's something that Robin talked about.
Right, if we're building a new salt shed at the existing location, what does that mean in terms of Gray Road property? That's what it's supposed to.
Yes, and the.
If we choose to build, the if is the dependent phrase. If we choose to build the salt shed at the present location, what is the plan with the Gray Road property? Is what I meant to say. Well, I'm actually going to clarify something else in there too.
Okay, so that was it for me.
So
it sounds like the thing under salt shed we're going to go through further discussion on. So.
So I just staying in that paragraph. So yes, Robin reported that she's gonna meet with an excavator at the present site on Saturday, which did happen. And yes, it is my professional opinion that the budget to construct the salt shed itself, just to build the salt shed.
I'm sorry.
that the budget will not differ greatly between the two potential sites. Not that the project for the salt shed will be the same, but just the construction of the salt shed on the site. So I gotta, I need to be a little clearer there.
That, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
The construction cost?
The construction of the actual structure.
But the site preparations were not included in that.
Right. Because depending on what happens with the site at Bray Road, that would...
Okay, it is Robin's professional opinion that the construction of the actual structure
yes.
will not differ greatly, etc.
Nope.
Okay.
Finished size of structure, we determine the cost to a certain degree, correct? And then we just need to clean that up a little bit there on that next sentence, how we want to do it.
Okay.
Sorry, I interrupted. Mm-hmm. You have something else?
Nope. Nothing?
All right. That's what I had, so.
Yeah.
Okay.
So can I have a motion to accept the town of Heath meeting minutes from, select board meeting minutes, excuse me, from Friday, January 5th, 2024, as amended?
So moved. Second the motion?
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Alyssa, aye.
Robin, aye. Thank you. Public comment? Barbara? Nothing. All right.
You're our public.
We're going to move on then. We're going to go right into the office assistant position. So last week, or last meeting, which was last week, right? Yeah. We reviewed the town coordinator position description with Hillmont's help. And then we said we were going to follow up at this next meeting with reviewing the office assistant position description, which you should have. And I spoke briefly with Doma. And we thought that perhaps it makes sense for her kind of to do the same thing. And she can probably do this a lot quicker, but to go through if there's anything in this description, which is a relatively new description anyway, if there's anything that jumps out that needs to be changed, and then basically to let us know which one of these things are happening and which ones are not. Because I think that's the bigger issue, which ones are happening versus what are not due to time constraints. So if you guys are good with that, I just want to let Hilma give us that info. I think Hilma was ready for that.
Okay, well, essentially, talking about under essential duties and responsibilities, she is trained basically in filling in for me if I'm out for an extended period of time, like on a vacation or something like that. Like, I mean, she knows how to answer the phone, but she doesn't do it. What she does on a regular basis is the finding. Sometimes there's things for her to copy. I try to give her, if you will, kind of research projects. If there's something that would be in the files that I need to refer to or somebody else asks for, If I can, I save that for her and to have her search through the files to find it. Like, for example, there's been a request, I guess it's from FERCOG, from the health department. We need to find the last time the septic system was pumped, I think here. Tim knows the year, 2017. So I have left that for Nancy and that she can work on next Tuesday and try to track that down. In terms of all the other things, duties that are listed here, it's kind of like in 2 hours a week, there isn't time to do it. That position does not have their own computer station, so in terms of responding to emails, which she certainly could do to a certain extent, even if I'm in the office, but it's like, well, to have her do that, then I would have to kind of schedule myself that I'm doing something else besides sitting at my desk in front of my computer.
But if you're not here, she has access.
If I'm not here, she has access, she knows how to do it.
Right.
Yes. She's kind of partway through a project, and this, one of the things that the auditor pointed out was that some of our personnel files are missing some documents that need to be in there. And so, well, I had her read through the personnel files and pull out all the ones of people that were no longer employees. But then of those that are still employees, I'm having her go through each record and see if there's any documents missing. And if there are, then we will just have to like catch up with the employee so that we can complete the files.
I mean, we did talk a little bit about when we were looking at the town coordinator position, if there were a couple things, you know, that the office person could take over. They were small items, and they almost kind of fall into this list of, it's basically, yeah, office-related tasks as told by, as instructed by the town coordinator, basically, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a catch-all of anything you're asked to do that's office-related.
Right.
Plus fill in for me.
Correct.
In a nutshell. So, I don't really see, do you see changes that should be made to this description?
No, not really.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
Like I said, it's a catch-all.
It's a catch-all. I personally think it would probably work more expediently if somehow this position could be combined with others, like say the board's clerk or whatever, into a position that was more hours, so the person was there more than once a week.
More substantial.
Yeah, because Nancy comes in Tuesday morning, and you know, which is great, but then sometimes it's like, well, okay, like for example, I scan the mail Thursday afternoon, Friday morning, usually for you guys, sometimes even Monday morning. It's like that's something that an assistant could very easily do, except she's not here at that time. You know, it's like the assistant isn't mm-hmm. working when I need her for, or I could use her for that particular task.
Right.
So.
And that was part of this conversation, was does this roll into, you know, not necessarily to be answered tonight, but part of the conversation of does this roll into the board's clerk position? And I think I've mentioned it in the past, should we have someone for a couple hours for the highway department? Is there a overall office assistant for almost everybody. other than the assessor's department, basically. If you think about it, that's what we're saying,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there could come a time, taking it a step further, that the highway department could, I mean, the fire department could use somebody. I mean, there's certain billing.
Well, the fire department could use somebody.
Right.
Even if it's an hour every other week
right.
to do the billing.
Things would be more efficient if it was handled by a person.
Yeah.
Right?
I think it would be a real advantage to have the office assistant rolled into it, because if they're filling in for the town coordinator in the coordinator's absence, they'll be far more knowledgeable about the different committees and the different things that are
correct.
Happening in town and that need
correct.
To be done. And that knowledge, to me, that it seems like that knowledge would carry over into each position.
There is a chance, too, you know, if this became a legitimate, say, half-time job, right, part-time job, you may see more local people interested in it, right, somebody local who has some experience already or knowledge of at least the town and what we do and who's on what departments. You may find somebody, whereas we don't know what will happen for the larger position of the town coordinator. That might not be, that could be from somebody from outside of town very easily. That applies for that job. So I think it's well worth looking at as we continue to talk about these different positions. And I mean, boards clerk is on our agenda anyways, which we're kind of rolling right into this conversation, but I think we should look at it seriously enough to bring it up with the Finance Committee.
I agree.
Is everybody on the same page?
Absolutely. I mean, a 2 hour a week office assistant, it's like, how did anything get done with such a little amount of time? And it would be nice to roll this into a bigger position, as Sue said, for the continuity of different departments in town, and how great it would be to have someone who has a little bit of knowledge everywhere. So I like the idea of a bigger position.
Yeah.
Well, also crossing
the streams.
There are also, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it makes the timing can be more flexible for people when they, you know,
mm-hmm.
they might have to spend 5 hours this week on Board of Health stuff, and then they really don't have anything else to do. So they can give more time for the town office chores.
Mm-hmm.
And so
right.
it just seems like it would be
smart.
It would require somebody that has, somebody that's organized, really, right, disciplined,
mm-hmm.
able to.
Self-motivation.
Right.
Yeah.
But a nice job, a nice, I think,
nice
if someone will, yeah.
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 It does sound much more appealing.
Yes. And the other item that the town has not dealt with for a long time is there are some other departments that have a person in them, and there's no backup to that person. Nobody who knows anything really about how to access or how to deal with their situations. It would be nice if this person was able to at least have an in enough to know, say, like the tax collector. There isn't a backup tax collector. There's no, you know, some towns have an assistant or a second.
Right.
Or two departments at least know to be able to switch. That really officially hasn't happened. I mean, I think at this point we're lucky enough that some of the people working in other offices could do that in a pinch. I'm just saying tax collector, I just picked that position, but
for someone who uses
treasurer, I mean, there's positions that don't, that are kind of stand alone that really have relied on, would be relying on you to guide the select board or other departments because of your familiarity with those people. But if it's you are a new person sitting there, that familiarity is gone. And it would be nice if there was another person to have that ability.
Yeah, the same with some of the town clerk work.
Yes, that's right, because you, right, that you are that connection to there, right?
Yeah. So. I can answer those questions, I can, whatever, I know what's going on, but.
I mean, let's face it, unless everybody picks up and moves out of town, if something were to go wrong, we all recognize whether you're in a position or not, if something happens, you're going to come and help. I mean, that's the way it's going to be. But that doesn't eliminate the necessity for us to make those power plant. Mm-hmm. And we really have it. We just kind of relied on
holding
things. Yeah, pretty much.
No, there's some things that, well, they've kind of made me nervous for years. Like the fact that there's no assistant tax collector, there's no assistant treasurer.
Right.
They used to be assistant for each other at one point in time. That hasn't happened in a long time.
And you start to recognize it even more as people start to age out in their position and you start to recognize retirement is going to come. And plans don't happen in 10 minutes. They seem to happen in 10 months or a year, so. All right, so if we had our, can we just go right into the, just kind of pull up the board's clerk at the same time, just because I would like to just see, the board's clerk was 8 hours per week.
Board's clerk say they have a hard time filling all that 8 hours? Okay, I'm gonna see.
Yes, the previous clerk did say that.
I don't know that that's necessarily what we should use as a guide, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
One, because the person, you know, we had a special agreement in place that they, if we're gonna say that this person really needs to try to be present at the Board of Health meetings to do the minutes. That's gonna take a chunk of time that Alice wasn't doing because of the agreement and it not working for her.
Right.
So number one, that's an issue. But number two, the next person who takes that position may not have the experience Alice has and things may take longer.
Yeah,
I agree.
I mean.
And also, and you know, at least I can see this is like, perhaps I'm not in there regular monthly meetings, but like when the planning board or even conservation commission, but if they're having a public hearing, it's like all the planning board members need to be focusing, in my mind, need to really focus their attention on who's coming before them asking for the special permit, what everybody's comments are, pro and con, and then the deliberation afterwards. And if you're the person who has to also be writing all this down, it's like you're focusing on writing point number one down and the rest of the board is on point number two or point three. I think that would also be a very vital task for the board's clerk.
So I don't think we necessarily changed that yet in our conversation. I mean, so if we looked at that, it's, what did I say? 8 hours?
8 hours.
And this was what?
Two.
Should have been two a day.
That's what I thought. 2 a week.
Yeah.
That's
you really say hello.
I think
you
started out with it at 10. A week kind of.
Right. For the budget.
Yes.
At some point, though, we need to be realistic, right? So if the budget is sustaining 8-10 hours, and then we're saying, okay, it's really not enough for that position, and then we'd be talking about possibly adding some others in there.
Mm-hmm.
Sixteen hours. 20 would be a real half-time position, right? Is that what we are? Is that what
yes.
20
is when benefits start.
that's something we'd have to think about.
But it wouldn't be hard for me to fill up that time. I mean, not just me as in town coordinator duties, but just in terms of what kind of assistance could be given to lots of boards and committees, highway department, fire department.
I mean, sometimes I don't think people recognize the level of work that's happening behind the scenes to sometimes either push forward things that need to be happening by all of these departments, mm-hmm. you know, assist them, or maybe having to clean up or fix some, you know, miscommunications that happen because people aren't here full time. So, I mean, I don't think anybody has any idea of how much work is in the background happening. And it's happening oftentimes by volunteers, which is fine, but you don't know that that's always going to happen. So, we may have to, you know, I think that's what we should be thinking about, the three of us, that number. What is that number? Yeah.
What did you say?
I was just confirming that we were talking about the hours for this position.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I mean, another thing, and I think this would be something probably to have the Board of Health weigh in on, but when it was just Board of Health clerk, the position had at least a couple of weekly office hours that were posted. Like late afternoon, early evening. That ended. That was another thing that did not work in with the previous clerk's schedule. She claimed it wasn't needed. Since she never did it, I don't know how she knows, but you know, I don't know how important it is. It used to be there were people in about every week because I had my town clerk hours at the same time. You know, maybe now that lots and lots of the permitting is done at the FERCOG level, maybe that's not needed anymore. I don't know, but to me it's another consideration.
Well, if you increase the hours for this, you expanded the duties and increased the hours, the person would probably be here 3 hours a week, 3 hours a day, 4 hours a day.
Yep.
So there would be regular, they would be available on a regular basis.
That's right.
Yeah, some of them could be floating, but some of them could be set office hours.
Right, I think exactly. And I think you have to be careful to not say to somebody, okay, well, you're here for 3 hours on Wednesday, and those 3 hours you're gonna get bombarded by anyone for any business, because that can become overwhelming for somebody. Like, oh, 1 minute you have somebody coming in for a Board of Health thing, but then the next thing somebody's coming in for a fire department thing, or however many things you put on the person,
mm-hmm.
there may have to be some scheduling of, like, maybe the first Wednesday of the month is these hours, and the second Wednesday, or whatever it is. But I think that those are things to work on, and it can continue to be looked at over the course of a year, right? How does it actually work? Because it's new.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what we've been doing, is creating positions and trying to massage them in a way that it does. It seems to work the best, because you don't really know until you try it.
Right, and I think it would be interesting to try just in a block of hours and see who comes in and see if it's overwhelming, and if it is, then by all means make a change. But people are used to doing things online so much, you know, through your email, that
they are. Although it's like, you know, there are times that
I think there's people who would come in
that there's needs for documents out of the Board of Health office.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I forgot about that just now. That's something where, and it's like there's no set office hours.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, I'll leave the documents in the front office and Hilma's there.
Mm-hmm.
So then when the person comes in, Hilma has to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and those are the things that we're looking to eliminate from the town coordinator position. In principle, right? I'm not saying that it still won't happen occasionally that you'll get caught up in a conversation with the person, but but what makes the town coordinator position difficult is the inability to stay focused on tasks because of the fact that there's a constant this people coming in and out. That can't work for everybody. That concept just does not work for every single person. There are people that they apply for this position that might be the best choice that aren't going to want to be interrupted all the time. No, right. Some people just can't function. You know? And some people are also very, very clear about their work hours and their non-work hours. And there's people who have been here forever that are probably putting in more than what they're actually getting paid for because they realize, oh shit, I got into a conversation that took me an hour, I gotta stay an extra 30 minutes to finish this project. So be it. So, all just things that can happen. Yeah, then we're trying to figure it out.
And that might be something we figure out with the person who gets hired for the position, based on their ability and comfortableness with working.
Yeah.
I had a comment about just listening to all these conversations related to the Board of Health and the board's clerk, or when we had a Board of Health clerk. And what keeps coming up is to take the minutes for the Board of Health meeting, as if that's the primary or the only function of them attending, of the clerk, whoever they may be, attending the meeting. But when I was on Board of Health, I have to say that I felt that the clerk being present for those meetings was so much more than that, because they basically are the intermediary between the members of the board, the public, FERCOG, and by being at those meetings, there was a good continuous flow of information, which was really essential for getting things done properly. And when the clerk, who is representing the board, often to FERCOG, not always, sometimes it's direct, but in day-to-day things, the clerk is taking care of things with FERCOG, and the clerk is dealing with the public, if everybody's not in the same loop, it really creates problems. So I guess I'm just a little sensitive to hearing, yeah, they need to go to the meetings to take minutes, and it's, I think it's about a whole lot more than that. It's about being an effective team.
I absolutely agree with that, because I served with you on the Board of Health during that time, and we did have a clerk, and you're right. I'm thankful for that reminder that was really, really important to have that communication, the connection with FERCOG, the public, and our meeting board.
Yeah, well, you're right. And from what I understand, it used to work that similar to the select board in that it's like follow up with this, call this person, what's the update on this, and then it's like, okay, here's where, I'll use me, 291 Route 8A, here's where their situation stands, here's what FERCOG has done in this situation, what do you want to happen next?
And often at those meetings, we also had our FERCOG health representative present. And so we all could put our minds together and share all common information and make better decisions. It's just, it's too disjointed when you can't get everybody in the same room or at least on the same Zoom call.
Right, and I wonder if that isn't part of the frustration that's trying to deal with now, because they don't have that middle link.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, I think what's going to be important with the position is also when we determine what all of the requirements of the job are going to be, the expectations, you know, probably that job description needs to be written in such a way that there's a specific section for each kind of department. Like some departments will be group together because it'll be the same job expectation. But
like
there could be something different.
Meetings and that kind of
Something different, right, for for Board of Health than is for the office, just the general office, even though we different sections within the position. The position is going to need to be regraded.
Yes.
Yep. All right, so it sounds like we're all on the same wavelength, going in the same direction. We're going to talk some more about it, think about the hours, and then really start to look at that job description.
Maybe look at the job description and then think about the hours.
Yeah. Well,
based on the job description.
I mean, I don't know that it can handle more than a, that we can handle more than a part, like a 20 hour. Can you help for us just get like what, like it's graded as a four now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I
believe so. Yeah. So just take it up a notch, just for ha-has, take it to a five, and can you give us like just like what it would be if we were under the what's the difference between
like if it was 15 hours
versus when those the benefits kick in. That'll be something we'll need to know as we talk about it. And then we'll keep looking at the job descriptions, the three of us, and we'll keep massaging those a little bit. One last comment on boards clerk, and then we'll go into the assessor's office. But while we're here, let's just, so there is an issue presently. This is gonna drag out, obviously, hiring this position until next visit, right. So, but the Board of Health is having a current issue, we heard, we understand, with not having a clerk to help them with whatever it is they need help with. So the question for us, I guess, is do we want to at least get a temporary person in place for the rest of this fiscal year just to help with that, the Board of Health essentials to keep that? It seems like CONCOM, planning, all those people, it seems like they can get their way through. But we have the money in the budget to at least get somebody temporarily. I think I'm told that there's somebody interested. Am I correct? Is that, do you think, still the case, that Jean's wife?
Yeah.
That's great.
So if that's the case, you feel comfortable authorizing Helma to reach out and check in with her and see if she really is to do, I don't know, whatever.
Is she just interested in this time period? You may not know this. Or is she interested in the bigger?
Well, she doesn't.
I have no idea. I just know that when we got Alice's resignation and I sent it to Jean and Jean responded and part of his response was Cindy was interested.
I'm just asking that question because if she came on for the board's clerk right now, it would be a good training period to have under her belt before the position expanded.
If she wants to take
it.
I thought she was just interested in the Board of Health part.
I don't know. Yeah.
You want to follow up with her and see? Are you comfortable?
Yes, sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you do that, just ask you to ask her if she's solely interested in picking up the Board of Health card or role.
I don't know if that's kosher to do. We know somebody who might be interested in just offer them the position and then offer them the expanded position.
No.
I don't think that's...
That's not what I'm saying.
Okay.
What I was saying is the current board's clerk position includes CONCOM and planning.
Yeah.
So I don't know if she's interested in working with them for the remainder of this fiscal year or only the Board of Health.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying.
Okay.
Yeah. Not for the next position. It would only be a temporary fill-in through the end of this fiscal year because technically after this fiscal year, that job not gonna continue as it stands now.
Mm-hmm.
That's our intention, I guess. Mm-hmm. But it sounds to me like really the crux, the issue between now and that date is the board health. So at the very least, if she wants to do that.
Yeah,
that's
it would be great to have that piece taken care of.
Okay. All right. And can you let the Board of Health know we're doing this?
Which part?
That we're trying to find someone to fill
find
in.
Attend.
Oh.
Which obviously you'll find Gigi you know that because you're going to be back in the, you know.
Still, it's good protocol.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So would she, okay, next part of it. If she's still interested, and even if she's interested in the Board of Health stuff, can I go ahead and hire her? It does not have, if you're thinking, oh my gosh, it does not have to be advertised, it doesn't, you don't have to see if anybody else is interested or any of that stuff.
I think because we're doing this as a temporary hire, just to keep the Board of Health functioning.
Right. That's why I said if it's just for the Board of Health, it's
right.
Specific to a board that we appoint.
That we, I'm
we appoint
I'm
the
fine
Board
with
of
it.
Right. I mean, I think the Board of Health would appreciate it. Because they haven't met yet this month, and they're not. So, okay.
Okay.
I guess it would kind of be a good idea to know if it's just, since it's just for the Board of Health, I don't think it needs to be the 8 hours a week.
No.
That would be my guess. It's probably more like, I think we were thinking 5 for the Board of Health. And 3 for the others back then. But that was the intent behind it, knowing that it would ebb and flow.
Yeah. Yeah, she probably do more hours the week they have their meeting. I would guess.
Yeah. So as long as it's within there.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Very good. All right. That's really the office assistant and the board clerk taking care of. Check it.
Mm-hmm.
So, other business. Next is Sawyer Hall Room Rental. We've got a letter from the Heath Historical Society that we're looking at, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. The recap and recent developments. And what is our next step?
Have you talked to Mark? Hilma?
Did I talk
about
to
this?
Him? No.
Okay.
But he's already given us information.
So the question is whether two estimates by commercial real estate brokers is sufficient, right?
Right, to provide.
In a nutshell.
Right, in a nutshell. If their assessment would be acceptable by town council to provide the information that is needed.
Right. Didn't we get that email from, you're right, he already gave us, he was specific and said what has to happen. I don't think that means what he said, is it?
Not from what I understand, but just mass general law.
Right, that is opinion. You don't have that, do you, Ella?
Not on me, no.
I'm going to say, the chance of me finding that quickly is slim to know. Because it
would probably be
in the mail or something, right?
And no, it was an email. End of October. Or November, beginning of November, somewhere in there. I believe.
You're talking about Mark's opinion?
Appraisal practices accepted in the appraisal industry. I found it.
No, you didn't.
I found it. That's the actual wordage.
Was that an October 12th email?
Yep.
Okay, I forgot that too.
The value is not determined based on the amount the lessee is willing to pay. Thus, the amount is not determinative of the value of the lease used. Then, so it needs to be using appraisal practices accepted in the appraisal industry. Which I don't know what that is. What's interesting enough is I believe that that would be Kim Levitch.
Yep. Well, that's one.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm just saying a person like that. He's an appraiser.
Right.
He appraises if you want to get an abatement, you call somebody like Kim Levitch and you get your property properly appraised. Mm-hmm. And he said what? Oh, that there would be a cost. I don't understand this. Kim Levitch said, and maybe this is a question for you. Did you talk with him, Bob?
Yes.
Okay. So the last sentence says that the appraisal would not ensure whether the proposed lease would exceed the $35,000 threshold.
Right.
What did he mean by that? Do you know?
Yeah, because it's an appraisal. What we're talking about is whether this lease is worth $35,000 or not. And that's a market issue question, not an appraisal question as such. So you could say, I can say my house is appraised at $500,000, but if there's no taker, then the market value of the house is not $500,000.
Well, I guess the question to Kim is, what is an appraisal practice that is accepted in the appraisal industry? That's what Mass General Law says. That's not what...
Yes, but we're talking about, and he explains why that phrase in the general laws is not particularly applicable in this situation.
I don't know what to say because I am just not one to personally, and I've already said this a million times, I think. I don't know. So basically, the select board's being asked to figure out if this meets the standard of general law. I can't answer that question. I don't know the answer to that.
To have a
Do you guys want to answer that? I don't know.
No.
I don't know. I'm being honest. I don't know.
So is this a question?
I can tell you the question I've been considering for the last 4 months.
What?
I can tell you the question I've been asking myself for the last 4 months, which is 4 months ago, the board approved this deal, and 2 days after the approval, this gentleman, who is not doesn't have the professional expertise as either an appraiser or a commercial real estate practitioner, gives us an opinion that
so
this is a problem.
It's, to me, that's why I am backing up and saying my opinion is that for a legal whether it's an opinion or not, it's the opinion that I believe the select board follows, because that's who we pay for counsel, legal counsel. That's my opinion. That's just my opinion. But I am fine if there's, if others believe other than me, I am fine with that. I mean, basically that's saying we're going to be asking, or we're suggesting that these people, these realtors,
the commercial
these
realtors.
Brokers, are going to provide the information we need, and that meets the requirement of Mass General Law. That's what we're, the select board is being asked.
We're at an impasse here for 4 months. I'm trying to give you a suggestion. First of all, to me, it's the lawyer who is outside of his sphere of expertise has come up with this opinion without any basis that we have to deal with this general law.
But don't we always?
We're stuck here, and
that is the basis.
Sorry?
That is the basis. Government has to operate within the parameters of the law.
Yes, of course.
So that's what
but
our
when we're talking about a room in a non-ADA compliant building, what conceivably is going to value this room at $35,000? The only thing I can come up with is if the experts, not the lawyer who isn't in this business, says, well, listen, if that room were leased to somebody, anybody, it would be worth $5,000, $50,000, some number. Then you've complied with the law, because the law does not apply. It's very simple. The law doesn't apply, it doesn't apply.
But it does apply, because you're talking about renting municipally owned, government owned property.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter whether it's ADA compliant, it doesn't matter if nobody else in the world is interested.
If nobody's interested, why does the law require it? Why does it reach a $35,000 threshold if nobody's interested?
Well, I don't know why. I just know that's what the current law states. That's what the select board has to comply with. How legislature came up with that figure, I have no idea.
I mean, I guess If we want to try the approach, we could get a handful of different numbers from commercial realtors and see if we're anywhere near the threshold to know whether how much more conversation we have to do. Right? Because right now we really don't know what the number is.
Right, that's kind of the
whole point. We don't know the number.
We need to know the number. And so,
Basically, we're at $3,500 a year. We've got to know, because it's a 10-year lease, mm-hmm. we have to know that the rent, the lease for that space per year would be under $3,500.
$35,000.
No.
For the year, $3,500
per year, right.
Per
correct.
Year, for
sorry.
10 years.
Yeah, right. You're talking about per year.
But basically, somebody has to look at it and say, okay, you know, the lease of that room and the access to it and whatever else goes with it is under $3,500 a year.
Would you be more comfortable if it was a 5-year lease? I'm just trying to not walk away from this situation.
Well, I think we'd still be in the same position where we'd have to
we still have to do it. We just have to get the numbers. Right.
Whether it's renting out to you or someone else, you know, going down the road, it sounds like we still have to go through this process. And so when the council is saying that we need to have a standard appraisal and practices for the property, okay, well, who does that?
Well, we know who does it. We know that companies like Kim Levish does appraisals. And then you'd have to take that appraisal. But Kim does do that very work. I have an appraisal from him that just got done a year ago. And he did the appraisal on the property, and then he wrote up what the value, the lease value is with that appraisal.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
So,
and if it was a house or a piece of land, of course, he could do it.
So this is commercial space. This is an office space that he did. The thing is what he's saying, yeah, I can do it. It's just going to cost money to do it. One of the things I brought up a while ago was that the select board may in fact decide it's in the town's best interest to get appraisals of the buildings to see what the proper lease amount is for the different buildings. Mm-hmm. There is a cost associated with that, and maybe that's something that was one of the things, maybe that was something we need to do at some point. Right, that's one.
Right, that was a conversation that we had, so that we can rent out Sawyer Hall as
more than
just that space. And so it looks like the information we got here was that such a type of appraisal would be somewhere over $2,000.
Yeah, I think the question is would you do, what's the appraisal for the whole building? Mm-hmm. If we're going to do it, we're going to pay the fee, what's the fee?
The appraisal for the whole building, and you'd also get quotes for more than one appraisal.
Right.
So it sounds like perhaps the next step is to contact a few of these commercial real estate people and ask them how much it would cost to do an appraisal on the building.
And then we have done our due diligence and answered, I think, well.
That's what I'm thinking as well.
And find out, what other space in there would cost. We get all of that information.
Could you clarify? I know that at one point, when you were negotiating this, there was a difference between a lease and what was it—a license?
License.
Is this appraisal required, regardless of which?
No.
That's why we wanted to do the license.
Well, a license is not acceptable to HHS.
I just wondered whether that might not be worth revisiting.
So that was when I suggested that they should get into the building with the license while the select board work out how to get this appraisal situation taken care of, and then come back and ask for a long-term lease once this got into play.
Right, and I understand that at that time HHS said no. But I'm just wondering, given as this is developing and becoming more and more cumbersome, whether it might be worth HHS reconsidering that alternative. Just a thought.
I would love for that to happen. For me personally, there's a couple reasons why. Things look different when they're in the building. They're in the building. Kind of captures the space.
Yeah, you know why we said no, right?
I know.
We're in a building now. If I want to be in a building, I'm in a building. I can't put capital into this project.
But I wouldn't put the capital in.
And then it's just in another building. Why would I bother?
Well, because Sawyer Hall, even in its present state, with no capital invested, is a much better location for the storage. That's why you would.
And
safer
then,
for it.
And then the next day you decide you can't work this out, and we got to move everything back out again. It's just not a workable. It's where it's been for 50 years.
Yeah, and
if
that's
it stays
fine.
Another
that's fine.
Year.
That's fine.
I'd rather have an arrangement that is sensible for the time, if it can be done. If it can't be done,
I mean, obviously,
we'll go look
somewhere
else. As
the term of the lease comes down, the value that you have to stay under goes up, which makes it more doable, probably. I don't know what the value is. I don't know what the value is.
So can we move forward and have...
We can. We can get some numbers.
To find out how much it would cost. I'm going to try to move forward on this.
Yeah. You going to make those calls now, or are you going to do that?
Okay. Yeah, I can do that.
All right. Okay.
So it looks like we had two companies that were recommended, and then you would come up with a third.
But they're not.
We're talking about appraisers. So you're back up to
not,
the Kim Lodge.
Yeah,
commercial.
Oh, I'm sorry, it's real estate brokers. I misunderstood.
No,
okay.
I would contact appraisers.
Okay.
Appraisal firms.
Okay.
I mean, you could call these guys and say, ask who they're using for, who they would recommend for appraisals too, if you need some other names. You might also want to call,
I know some other
appraisers. Okay.
Appraisers. I know some other realtors.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Just out of curiosity.
There's plenty around.
Was the office building in a commercial area at all? That you got an appraisal on?
Yes. Yeah. So no, I know it's a little bit of a challenge. I know it is. I know.
Thank you.
But I think that, and if we fail to get people willing to do it, we can say we fail, and this is the step we're taking in its place. We may fail.
Okay. Thank you.
No, we're not failing. It's the information that we get, you're saying.
No, I mean, if we can't get the appraisals, if nobody wants to appraise it,
right.
If we're trying to get it, then we're going to price it.
I think it's a matter of, do you want to pay their cost?
Right.
Right. It's going to come down to how much it's going to cost. But it might be a cost towards the future of Sawyer Hall. So we'll have to have that.
It may have value to you for the building.
For the
that's
building.
What I just said. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
Thank you, guys.
The whole concept of this appraisal, I find very interesting. I mean, I sympathize with his concern. When I had to have a family's residence appraised following a death, the question was asked, is this an appraisal for selling, or is this an appraisal for an estate inheritance?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, well, why does it matter?
Why does it matter?
Because I'm going to give you this value if you're selling it, and I'm going to give you this if you're inheriting it.
Correct.
Yep.
So it's so nebulous, you know, it's so non-objective.
Correct. I think
it has to be within a realistic, framework, or it could be challenged in court, and they don't want to end up with that.
Yeah. Well, it seemed like there were lots of nods and winks, you know. It just shocked me.
One of the things that is important is, I think we mentioned this before, is precedent starting. And I think that we have other leases that we have to talk about as well. And we have to maintain the same rules, or we're going to get jammed up at some point in time.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Well, it sounds like this approach is doing it based on general law. So you can take everything you want to conform under
Correct.
General law.
That's why other leases are year leases with the town.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. I know you mentioned that.
That's the whole crux of this, is the term of this anything more than...
Well, just to hear him say, what are we going to do? Go down to 5 years.
Well, actually, like I said, if you go to 5 years, and then still that same threshold,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's better.
Mm-hmm. So, let's see what he says.
All right. Anything else? Who wants?
No.
You good?
Mm-hmm. I'm good, thank you.
Parks and Rec. Hilma, I'm gonna let you take that one.
Okay. So hopefully you all paid attention to the latest email that I think I just sent out. Was it yesterday? That has the most recent updates of a request for quotes and the civil contract agreement. And it's, this has to do with the grant that was awarded jointly to Heath and Rowe to do work on what they're calling the Highlands Through Trail Land Access Outreach. But anyway, the first grant that was received, the work is getting wrapped up, was to kind of lay out and delineate parts of this trail so that the goal is to have a continuous hiking trail from Shelburne. I apologize. I think it's Shelburne up through Coleraine, Charlemont, Heath, Rowe, and I think it goes further west after that. And it's like both ends of this trail are done. It's the middle section that's kind of Heath and Rowe that aren't laid out. Where some of it is planned for is through private property. So this second part that we're looking at now and the RFQ is to hire an agency that would finalize the research work, would do the actual outreach work of contacting the private landowners, seeing if they can negotiate an agreement to allow access through their land and the construction of a hiking trail through their land, and then also do like the legal documentation, the legal agreement between the landowner and that's a good question. I think that Woodlands Partnership, excuse me. I have to get the right group there. Between the landowner and the Woodlands Partnership. Anyway, these are the draft documents that have been prepared. I've read through them. In the RFQ document under section 4.0, submittal requirements, down on subpoint C, the last line that starts authority, it says, as the awarding authority, the town of reserves the right to accept or reject, end quote. I contacted the person at FERCOG that is dealing with this, and I said, isn't there a word missing? And shouldn't it say Heath? And she emailed me back and said, yes, and they have made that correction. So it will say the town of Heath reserves the right. Other than that, it looks good to me. They have, because the maximum quote that will be accepted is $30,000, and that's based on the allotment within the total of the grant.
Right, so no cost to us.
Right. No cost to us, absolutely no cost to us. So the next step, like if you folks are willing to approve these documents, the next step is that the FERCOG will email them out. They have a list of four names of agencies that do this kind of work. They will email it out and, you know, ask if they can give a quote. And then we go from there.
So the Heath and Rowe had something to sign? Or
no.
Just Heath as the
Just lead. Heath will sign it as the lead.
Is that correct that you are the person overseeing all of this?
Yep. And I'm doing it if you remember way back when. It's kind of like, all the direct administrative work I'm doing outside of my town coordinator.
Okay, so that's what I thought. That's why I wondered when it said it was the town coordinator's job. I thought, I'm pretty sure she said it was going to be outside of that.
Well, it is.
So I just wanted to make
it's
sure
that
it's just
hard
was
to get them to, I don't know what, distinguish between one Hilma and another Hilma. So
different hats.
Hilma one, Hilma two, Hilma three.
And I just wanted to make sure. I know we have all the other grants that have to do with things. Is that getting cleaned up?
That I am working on that. And
that's
going to
work out.
Well, those
are separate from this one.
Are separate from this.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Is this, you just want one vote on this?
Sure.
What do you want for a vote? Are you signing? So you're signing this? Are we signing this?
I was going
this?
To sign
you're
it.
You're going
to
sign this. So can I have a motion to accept with the one amendment there of adding the town of Heath in, right?
Mm-hmm.
The RFQ, which is request for quotes for the towns of Heath and Rowe, Highlands Through Trail, Land Access Outreach. This is RFQ number 2024-2118. And give permission for Emma to sign this document as well. Oh, and the contract, you want to say and the contract?
And the contract.
Contract as written or submitted to us.
Okay.
Can I have that motion, please? Someone's a little messy.
Yeah.
She'll write it better.
I will second that motion.
And now we can have further discussion.
Do anything?
No.
Okay.
Lisa?
I think it's a tremendous effort, and gosh, we're an amazing project that the towns are working on. Mm-hmm. For a COG and Hill. Thank you so much for taking it.
How wonderful to have somebody else trying to make all those contacts.
Yeah.
It's not been an easy job.
That's my only comment is,
yeah.
Woohoo!
All right. Yeah. So then, all in favor?
Sue, aye.
Lisa, aye.
Robin, aye. Great.
Thank you.
Yay.
Really tremendous.
Community Hall fundraising update.
Ooh.
I think that's you. Lisa?
Damn.
Is there anything? I just left it in the.
No update. The committee's going to meet tomorrow. We'll get the final vote on that flyer that you all saw last meeting. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I get that, I immediately let our town clerk know so she can move forward on it.
She needs a copy.
Yeah, I'm not sure she needs a copy. I think the only kind of the next thing I think the committee needs to just discuss, but I think it actually comes down to the town, is selecting an online type of payment option, which Hilma had spoken with the treasurer and got
mm-hmm.
a few options, and it has to do with either accepting credit cards through the UniPay system or just electronic checks. If we just do electronic checks for people who want to donate, there's no fee.
No fee, right?
Okay. If it's credit card, then it would be like a $12.95 monthly fee, unless we're running 40 to 50 transactions, then it would be free. But that happened. So Hilma and I haven't had a chance to really
reconvene, but I think offering credit card is much more convenient for people who want to donate instead of trying to set up an e-check where you have to do the routing number, do the banks, blah, blah, blah. So it would be up to the town to give permission for that $12.95 fee for however months it takes to raise this. So, but the committee hasn't even had a chance to discuss it. Not that it's their decision, but just to get their thoughts on what they think about fundraising mm-hmm. and those options. But
it'll use their debit card, so that's who takes that.
Yeah. So that's, as far as I know, the only things that are the two hot topics.
Okay. Has money been coming in?
Nothing more since the initial.
But I mean it's
nothing.
$805.
Yeah.
Totally. Very good.
And I have the thank you notes ready to go, and I have the information so I can get those out and start that process. And we have a way to document all the money coming in with the turnover report from the treasurer that I will get from Helma and have present to the committee so everybody knows where everything is going. And everybody would be happy.
All right. Very good.
That's all I got.
Maybe.
I'm doing my best.
Well, it's coming.
It is coming. It is coming.
The updates on nothing really new on Community Hall, Sawyer Hall, we're still just waiting for the remediators to start.
Yep. Yes. Well, the way the week has gone with the storms and then Tim was out, I don't know how long today on the ambulance call and different things have come along that I haven't even had a chance to ask him.
That's fine. That's good. And the highway winter work update, we've got a handful of things here. You want to do your?
I talked briefly with Kyle and briefly with Jeff today about how things were going. The new truck is great until something went wrong with it this afternoon.
The new truck?
Yeah, the new truck.
Minor difference.
Minor, great, good, okay. That's
well,
right.
It's under warranty, so.
Yeah, it's under warranty, so. But, they were really happy with it up until that moment.
And Kyle said.
There's the. There's a number of pieces of equipment that are in various stages of repair. He got his truck fixed today. There's another one that has trouble with the lights and the plow. You got that story, Loma. I came in at the end of that one. I don't know exactly what it all was. We want to ask Jeff to repeat it.
Well, it's... Yeah, not being a mechanic, No, but the headlights on the plow, and I think it's on the pickup truck, the headlights on the plow do not work unless you disconnect the headlights on the truck, I think, if I understood
this correctly. That's what it sounded like. It was something to do with
and then,
the wiring.
Yeah, it's something with the wiring. And then you can turn on the headlights on the plow, but then you don't have headlights on your truck, and so yeah, something's got to get work.
So there's a number of repair issues with various pieces of equipment right now. The old truck, the dead one, is still there. They have pretty much stripped it of any usable pieces and parts.
Mm-hmm.
They've used some of the parts to replace parts in Jason's truck, which is, let's say, a few thousand dollars because they can switch those over. And I'm not sure when that truck is going. So there. Apparently, it was in the garage and they started it up, and all they could get it to do was idle. So they had to pull it out of the garage to get it over to the other side of the road. So it really is just had it. Jason's truck is still gone.
Okay. Yeah, Jason's truck.
Thank you, Jason.
So gone.
And his maintenance As far as the plowing situation is concerned, I talked with both Kyle and Jeff about that. They felt like things went okay. Jason Clark came in, was called in as, to assist with plowing, and blanking on his name.
Nathan
Clark was called in, and that worked out very well. Mm-hmm. They did the dirt roads, and then they also did some of the cleanup stuff, like you know, like coming over here and plowing the parking lot. And, pushing back snowbanks in places.
And they were driving their own trucks?
They were using our trucks.
Oh, okay.
And that seemed to have gone well. I asked Jeff if he felt like this system, and it's pretty early to tell, but so far if he felt like the system was working and that they were getting the things done that they needed to get done, he said yes. Mm-hmm. I said, you know, we just want to keep really close tabs on that. I keep saying the select board made that decision, but it's me that made that decision now because I'm the only one left. you know, that really changed how things would operate. So far it seems to be going pretty well. They were really concerned that they might get a lot of complaints after this last storm because they elected to not plow the dirt roads too soon because of the rain. And if they plow the dirt roads, then the rain comes and it just turns into clear ice. If you don't plow, it makes a lot of slush. But they were worried that people were going to complain, but I'm not aware of any complaints. I know there was an issue over on Avery Brook Road during that storm where one car didn't make it, and thus there were numerous other cars that didn't make it. Jeff had to go over and clean things up. I think Jeff had Kyle go over and clean up that mess. Jeff stayed at the highway department that night. He stayed through the night.
And everybody else stayed awake all night, just FYI.
Well, then they should have gone over and relieved Jeff.
I think Jeff wanted to stay there.
Yeah. Jeff said he stayed through the night just to make so that there would be somebody right there if there was a problem. He could go right out and take care of it. He also is contacting, he has not heard any more from Saladino. He has contacted Tom Danick to see if Tom Danick would have any interest in doing some of the filing.
Follow up on that one. Right now, because there's a text.
Oh, okay. And Robin will follow up on that. And I had also asked John to contact the people on that list of places that people had things stored too close to the road. The highway department was concerned about it. He has not talked to everybody yet, but he has talked to a couple of people, and they supposedly have moved the stuff that they needed to move and made it more passable. That's it. Oh, and I have contacted, I contacted Natalie's office this morning, actually. I have been trying to send an email through to them, and it keeps coming back to me because apparently I'm spam.
Oh, hi, spam.
And they won't let it go through. So I will work on that tomorrow somewhere and get it through. But they said that they would see if they could do anything about the highway, about the situation of the culvert. See if they could help us in any way. So
I thought that from a little driving I did that Avery Brook was phenomenal.
I had to go down.
I had to go down for something, and it's quite clear where that Trailmont line is because the roads were not okay. I did shoot Jeff up an email to say great job. This is what I saw, and I appreciate the effort. But it was quite clear.
I think this happened. This happened at a specific time of night. I don't know what time it was, but just one car.
Yeah.
Not really suitable for winter driving. Got stuck, and then
I know everybody.
It was right when things were really coming down fast,
yeah,
too.
Right.
It was right in the heat of it.
Clear something, then there's like nothing to break back onto another 2 inches of slush and mix.
Right, it was.
And when they sand the icy spots, it just washes off if it's raining.
Correct.
So, you know, it's great. And
the hospital was great. David Brook was great. Mm-hmm. I was really, really proud of how it worked for us.
So, Tom Danik had reached out to me whenever Jeff, not long after Jeff had reached out to him, to say he was going to be reviewing the contract and that he was interested in working with the town, and it's extremely familiar because he plowed the roads back when, what's his name, Jack Cable was here?
Yep.
So Jeff tonight contacted Hilma and I to say that Tom took the paperwork to run it by his insurance company, and his insurance company kicked it back just like Saladino did. So that's why I asked right before when I got this, if Hilma, will you just send those documents so I can read them? What is the glitch on the insurance? I don't remember. I know that Jeff and I have spoken through it, but I don't remember until I can see it.
Yeah, well,
I'd like
sure,
to see,
it was like
standing. It's the same concern, the same amount of excessive amount of money, and I've never had this issue myself, so I got to read what it is.
It's something very specific about the sanding.
The sanding,
yeah, right, and it was just like something happens when they're sanding, they're at fault. And I rewrote it to make it a little more specific that, you know, if something happened due to their negligence or whatever, you know, that it was clear they were wrong in what they were doing, then they would be responsible.
But this one sounds a little bit different, though. This one sounds like the insurance company can't just add to the policy that he's working for a municipality.
Yeah.
Versus just
in
general.
I think his is different.
Yeah, it seems like a more vague type of thing. So this might be able to be more worked out. It really comes back down to this contract versus just on call.
Mm-hmm. It is, which is the weirdest thing in the world, because if they're on call, they're 100% responsible if something goes wrong, because they're a subcontractor.
Right.
which is what just really baffles me with the insurance.
So I think it really comes down to, is Jeff comfortable proceeding with this pool of contractors that he can line up per storm versus, you know what I'm saying, so he calls.
The only concern he expressed to me was that they all have other things in their lives that could impede on their availability at certain times. Like Jason has another job.
But if somebody like Danik signs on basically and is still a sub to the town.
That's a little different, but using.
Yeah, but then you also, with Danik, it's like you also have to get him to commit that he will plow for Heath first.
Right.
I mean, he's already plowing for, I don't know, multiple.
Right. And I'm just saying that because that's the person in hand, whoever.
Yeah, whoever it is, right.
See, I think that there's more of an issue with Saladino now, because I think the person that was going to do this route is no longer employed by him. So I think that there's another piece that they may have lost an employee at Saladino. Huh. You know, I'm not positive, but I thought there was something more to that may have happened. So. If Danik, that was why I asked the question, like, I wonder if Tom is interested in doing it, who is plowing of his crew, or is he thinking of doing it, what's he going to do about his driveways?
Right.
I think, I mean, now that Jeff said that, I can just kind of follow up with him tomorrow and ask him that question. I also, talking about Tom Danik, that's who I'm talking with, just to get numbers for the salt shed work, so I can also talk to Tom directly about it. But I would really like to see whatever you said to Jeff to go back to Saladino. Can I see that and see if we can figure this out.
At this point, I'm having some real questions about Saladino. The lack of timely response from him really bothers me because it's gone on for so long.
Yep.
We haven't said that publicly yet. I'm saying it publicly now.
But no, we did. I said that way back when, that was an issue. Because it was taking so long for communication to happen.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying.
Lack of communication where you constantly have to go after somebody was bothering me way back when we were just trying to get him to come visit, remember?
I'm saying I'm almost worth trying to even continue any contact with him.
Oh, I wasn't saying that. I think that the question should be made of Tom.
It's
yes, I think that's a more, known connection for us, anyways. Tom.
Yeah.
Right. Know if he's what he's going to do.
We know where he lives.
We know where he lives, right?
Yeah, I have some concerns about Saladino at this point. Yeah. It's gone on too long.
Yeah, I just.
Not that there's anything.
We should just totally eliminate him from the mix.
I don't think that there's any more attempts to be made by John that I know of to communicate. All right. So just continuing on with Tom Danek, he's working on numbers for us for a handful of different items when it comes to the salt shed and site work at the Bray Road property. But it's going to take him, I'm hoping by the time we have our next meeting in a week and a half or whatever that is, that we'll have some more numbers. I do have a number that I haven't reviewed yet because it just came for a smaller salt shed from the same company that gave the larger number to Bob from finance.
Iron Horse.
Yeah. I think with those numbers and the follow-up communication that I have to do, we'll be able to get somewhere in a budget, like a range, depending on what size it's going to be. And then it's just really to talk about which location, like, which is the more future question. Put it where it is and try to move the fire department, put it where it is and just see what happens over the next year, whatever. All those different questions we can have.
A lot of different scenarios.
Yeah.
To walk through.
Yeah. I think either way, the highway department will be able to do some. Can do the demo of the existing salt shed, the cleanup, some of that kind of stuff. I would think that they can kind of roll that in onto their work. How much of that money do we have left that we use for the truck? 100?
The ARPA money?
Yeah.
How much do we have left? About 122.
122.
Approximately.
I thought we had right around 2 and the truck was 80.
Yeah.
80 something like that.
It could be about 110.
I'm just thinking. I'm always thinking. Well, thinking of how to get this salt shed without having to cost a lot of money.
Well, somehow you have to think about how to spend it in the next, either spend it or commit it to an ongoing project in the next 10 months.
Okay.
Which is when the salt shed would be having
ARPA.
Just saying.
Right.
Spending.
Use it or lose it.
Oh, we're going to use it.
We're not losing nothing.
By December 31st, 2024.
They could make it a lot easier by tripling the amount. We could use it faster. Instead of debating, do we use it here or here? We could just.
This is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that smaller salt sheds will come in. Say 130, it'll be close. It'll be close to that. Like, what if that could cover the cost of the salt shed? And if the, the material, the actual unit. And the highway department can do the demo. This is if it's going to stay at the current location. I guess it could be either way. The highway department is going to do the demo. And then we did get that extra money through Chapter 90. We got that extra money that came this year that we weren't expecting.
Right, the 130 something.
That's a good chunk change.
Mm-hmm.
And if that could cover the site work we need to do. We got some electrical work. Maybe we could sneak it in. I don't know. For a creative. To keep the building even at its existing size in the existing location, there's still site work that has to happen out back. Some of it we could do in-house, but some of it something like Tommy Dan's gonna do. Or whoever, you know, this thing, these different parts and pieces.
It sounds like if we go with a smaller shed, that will help alleviate some of the tight squeezes with trucks getting up there that are communicated.
It will. It's just that, you know, those sheds that they want to look at, whoever wants to look at, I don't know how it all started. Our salt shed is rectangular, right? The walls go straight up and then the roof is up here, right? Those hoops, you know, as they go up, they start to curl, meaning there's this chunk of space that no longer exists. Our salt is right up against the side of our existing salt shed, up high. As you start to make the hoop, the salt has to push over because you don't have that same space all the way.
Right.
Unless you keep growing the building higher and higher and set the hoop on higher sidewalls. So we may still have to get just a little bit bigger just to be able to get the same amount of open space inside because of the new formation of the building.
It might have been bigger,
or
taller. Or
it would be much, much, much taller, right? You start to think about having to set it on, I don't know. The first quote that was on an 8-foot, it's an 8-foot leg on a block, like a 6-foot block wall. It's starting to get tall once you start to.
So the amount of salt that's in the salt shed, is that enough salt to get us through a season? Or
no.
So it's,
I don't know, that's why I'm going to ask this question. So go ahead, giggle away, because I don't know what I'm talking about.
No.
Is there,
that would be nice. Is there a certain requirement that we have to have a certain amount of salt to get us through so many seasons?
No.
Okay, can we downsize the amount of salt that goes in the salt shed?
No, I wouldn't go any smaller than we have.
Okay.
It should be a little bit bigger.
Okay, and why is that?
Just for what I just said, because
the salt is, you said we should have more, I misunderstood what you're saying.
We're losing.
We should have, that part I understood. I thought you were trying to say that we needed to actually have more salt than we have
now. No. So I think the original request from the highway superintendent for the larger structure that was originally priced out is based on a liking to not have to have so many deliveries and have more in storage. But that's not something that you have to have. You can have as many deliveries as you want. You just have to plan for them and call for them and make sure they come in. Now, the concern in some, for some, whether it's Jeff's or not, I don't know, but I can, from my own experiences, as the season goes on, if it's really bad and salt's getting eaten up by a lot of different companies, as you get to the end of the season, sometimes salt's a little more difficult to get. And you don't want to get stuck in a situation where you can't get salt.
No, I think you definitely would want to have a delivery that would get you through your season.
Right. Well, you'll never have a delivery. They get deliveries pretty regularly.
Oh, okay. So that I didn't know. That. Yeah.
Probably my guess is...
Something just came today.
I was going to say, we had two storms. My guess is they're probably due for a salt delivery.
Yeah, it goes pretty quick. Because the salt isn't, well, the other thing about our salt shed is in the center of our salt shed between salt and where we have the sand is about the division wall that's made out of concrete blocks, and that's a really thick division wall. It doesn't have to be that thick. It's that thick because we used that product to create the wall years and years and years ago, and it's just never been taken out. But it takes up a little bit of extra space in there.
Okay.
I think I went over to Row.
I guess I wasn't aware that we were getting numerous salt deliveries per season.
Yes.
How often do
both salt tons?
Row's salt shed is 40 by 98.
Figure it as every 2 or 3 storms.
you'll get a delivery. Okay. And certainly during the summer, we don't need deliveries.
No.
Okay. So we're not storing salt, it would be spring and summer.
No, just put the
whatever's left in the room. Okay.
We're roughly 40 by 60 right now. Mm-hmm. 40 wide where they drive it in at 60 feet long. Row is 40 by 100 almost. Mm-hmm. And we had asked for 60 by 80. So 60 wide, that's an additional 20 feet. That's why taking it really goes into that back hill. Mm-hmm. And it comes out a little bit if you were to put something up there. But it's not necessarily the, you know, a little bit of extra for the width maybe to help with the hoop part, mm-hmm. to not have to get way, way, way too high. But getting a little bit of extra length gives you a little bit more storage in the back. And there is a little bit of ability to go back further. It just requires a little slight work on the side in that back area.
When people walk around, mm-hmm. check it out.
Yeah. Very exciting experience.
The backside of the salt shed.
It'll
like
make
stories go down back there.
Actually, you should go take a look at the roof structure from inside.
Yeah.
And then you say,
it'll make stories go down back there.
Actually, you should go take a look at the roof structure from inside.
Yeah.
And then you say to yourself,
I'm going to stay on the outside.
How does this keep standing?
That's only second in line of excitement to the backside of the town garage.
Oh, yeah, don't do that.
I know. I've been warned. I still want to see it, though.
Well, you got to make sure you're, yeah, don't go when it's wet.
That's
no, Dan,
keep your small boots on. Yeah. It's pretty epic.
So,
I've gone back there a handful of times.
Yeah. Excuse me. If we were to plan on a smaller salt shed, one of the appeals of like the larger size was that it would be high enough that the delivery trucks could just back right in and dump, as opposed to dumping in the doorway and our guys having to push it down.
Right.
So if it was a somewhat smaller size, would trucks still be able to back in, or would our guys have to?
Any smaller than what we have now, we would still be pushing out. Is that what you're saying? Even what we have now, you'd still be pushing it because.
Well, what we have now, you're pushing.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about.
You got to start getting up over.
Is the entry door going to be tall enough, no matter what size? That's what you're asking, right?
Well, no, because eventually the salt's coming out at you.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't pull the truck in because there's no more space. So you have to dump it out.
You're right. It'd be better to go deeper.
If you're not long enough. That's why, so Rose is like I said, it's like 98. So if you go up there and you peek in their shed, you'll see that their salt is back a significant amount because they can back a truck right in. They leave a space of it open.
Where is that?
Rose.
Uh-huh.
That's what a lot of places do.
Okay.
That's why they make it longer, so you can actually get further into the building with the equipment.
Okay, yeah, I get that, but don't you also have to have a certain height?
You have a certain height, but that can be determined no matter what size you have, by keep building either up your side blocks or...
That's what
I'm saying.
That's part of the issue right now is...
Oh, yes.
If
no,
the truck turns
yes.
the back in,
yes.
and that's
the door's not big enough.
Got demolished.
You need to go to the ball.
Yeah.
Let me help you.
Let me help you.
Oh, look at this. We have hoop drawings.
I do work. I do it for a living every day.
I didn't mean to imply that, but I'm like, oh, you got stuff to look at.
Well, this is what I've been working on.
Oh.
So, and I'll bring these over to you. So this is the same structure that was the same width as what we have currently.
Okay.
We're 40, this is 42 feet because that's their standard. But this sidewall changes height.
There you go.
As you spend more money.
Yep.
And then these little blocks are your how many feet. So this one is 6 feet tall, right? This one's up at 8 feet. This one's like 9, somewhere in the 10. This one at 10. No, this is the structure part.
Mm-hmm.
And then these get on, sit on blocks, which extend the height even further, okay?
So the height of the walls.
This one is a different shape, see? That's a different option, but that's the concept. These are not cinder, these are not blocks, concrete blocks. Mm-hmm. We're not talking cinder blocks, take that off.
Okay.
These are concrete posts, wall posts that they, one company that is one place. It's all different, however you want to get them done. But these hoop ones, which is the CC series, is what the finance committee started pricing. So I've continued just for ease of getting the numbers, because once you get like a budget between X and X, we can narrow it down once we really figure out which direction we're going.
What is the hoop material?
This is all a steel component.
Right, the framing is steel, but then what's the covering?
The covering is a, hold up, poly-something.
And it lasts for how long?
25-year warranty. Yeah.
Is there an advantage to the hoop shape as opposed to, I don't know, more conventional structure like we have now? Just asking, but I know.
Nope, all comes down to price.
Saying hoop, hoop.
Yeah, and that's just the direction we kept going right now, but we certainly can get a quote for a framed building also.
You think that'd be more expensive than?
Probably.
Okay.
The vinyl only lasts 25 years. It's taken us 50 years to.
So one of the questions about these is this, that we don't yet, is it's claimed, and until we get, you see, we can only get so much information because we're not really buying the unit from these guys yet. And everybody knows we're still going to have to go to bid. So this company may lose the job. They're giving us all this information, but they may lose the job when we go out to bid.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But this is supposed to be able to sit on a pad, meaning I don't think it's requiring a foundation. That's what I'm trying to get the information on right now.
So pad, foundation walls. Pad?
Well,
versus
it would be blacktop most then,
okay,
because
like
you'd want the salt would eat the concrete.
Ooh, yeah.
So this is the same thing. So the Buckland Highway Garage there off of Route 2, if you look to the right, as you go over the Buckland Bridge, there's a big one over there.
Just before you go across the bridge. Have we talked to them to see how they like their little
heading towards
It's been there
Greenfield.
For a long time. Huh? Heading towards Greenfield's on the left.
What?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the same kind of concept, it's just much bigger.
The state one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
it's a
sure.
Structure that's.
Yep.
So
it went on Route 2, you said?
Yeah. You head towards Greenfield.
Yeah.
You get, you know where Dr. Brody's office is? The vet?
The vet's office.
Oh,
yeah.
And then there's State Street, the first entrance to Sheldon Falls.
Yeah.
And you just go past State Street and you look on the left and there's.
Looked at it every time you go
I'm
by.
I'm sure that I have.
And you haven't even said yourself, oh my gosh, there is a giant salt.
There's all these highway buildings and that's one of the state depots.
Okay. Well, it's good to.
I actually think Iron Horse did that.
You can drive down a little side street on the left to get a closer look.
I think this company did that, knew that building too. I think Iron Horse did that. But neither here nor there. So that's the concept.
Okay.
Is it the final answer? No, not necessarily. But it's a budget starting process, right?
I think we're doing all that work.
So that's called a salt shed.
Stop.
All right. So highway, you updated the park. I was going to ask you about the park vehicles, but you said John's on that.
Mm-hmm.
Salt shed trucks. Contractor you're going to send me. That's all I have for highway stuff, too. All right. Anything else, highway department, that we can think of? No. Good? Okay.
Good.
And that's everything for the other business other than, so audit, we've been trying to schedule an appointment with the audit to review the audit.
Yeah, I don't know what Sue
Is that what you're looking for?
Well, no. Well, yes and no. The audit must be almost 2 years old now. We've never really done anything with it, and there were some recommendations in there, and some of them I think would have an impact on the budget.
Yeah, some of them we actually have. Some people have been working on some of the stuff, but yeah, we can take a look at the ones that pull out the form.
So my question is, do we need to take a look at that and take pieces of that into consideration as we start this budget process?
Sure.
Otherwise, it'll be so outdated. I don't know.
Well, pretty soon it'll become time to be scheduling another one.
It'll be time to do another one. So this is the last time I'm bringing it up.
Well, in terms of trying to get the final piece out of him of the sit down, it's like
plenty.
He has not responded to any of the emails.
He's tried copying me, and that usually is the one that pushes everybody over the edge.
Right, and I included you in the last email, and
maybe I'll do a follow up to that email now.
Well, okay.
This week I'll do a follow up.
Call up and harass him.
And then DLTA.
That's me. So I've not seen one of these before, so I...
Something we normally discuss at a meeting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, probably the next meeting.
Next meeting, it's going to be on.
Oh, it is? Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't knowing this was something that was happening right now. I'm like, what is happening? And then also in the form, no, this makes sense to me, that you're supposed to put your wish list together. I'm like, oh, but there isn't anything here, and I think I got confused about what was being sent out today and what wasn't. So it sounds like this is going to come up for discussion.
But you could, the homework could be to review that and create a wish list so that when we meet next time, we can actually discuss it and step ahead.
Okay.
Well, yes, because
that be something.
You're supposed to send it out to department heads.
Right, so everybody,
or some of them.
So Helma does that.
And yeah, so I did that, and I gave them a deadline of January 22nd, figuring they need to be compiled because they want these back by January 31st.
Right.
So we can discuss it on the 23rd.
It on the 23rd, figure out the...
So we're basically saying that we're interested in everything.
No.
Well, you got to pick three and prioritize.
So when I'm saying checked off yes, that wasn't something that you did. I was confused about what I was looking at. So when this is checked off yes, I thought that was something that you did.
Oh, no.
Like,
that
does
means,
that mean that we're interested
that means
in all of these?
You check off in that front column.
Oh, it's telling you what to do.
Yeah.
It's telling you what to do.
Got it.
Now we're telling you what to do to it.
Got it. I'm like, does that one check mean we're interested in all of these things? I'm like, this is a little, I'm confused.
No.
Okay, I got it now.
And you don't have to check anything. You can just make your list and we'll put it together.
Okay. Thanks.
If you think are good for us.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you.
That's right. Every little thing is new.
I know. I got my training wheels on.
Well,
that came in yesterday. It came in yesterday, and I got ready to send it out, and it's like, oh, Elisa.
She's not gonna know, and she's gonna get this and see what
I know. And I just don't panic. Email from me. We'll talk about it. Don't panic.
Gonna have a clue.
Okay, I appreciate that. Thank you.
All right, mail.
You don't want to do the January.
Oh wait, what's it? Yeah.
What?
January 26th.
Do you want to talk about?
Well, I was going to do mail and meetings.
Oh, okay. Pardon me.
Mail.
But I don't have my mail list.
No, that's.
No, normally if I don't get one, I make one, but I didn't do that.
Mail. Well, there's only
not much in there, right? And we've already done most of the good.
Three things.
So the Heath Historical, we've talked about that. The yes, a thank you to the plow crew. 90 C cuts, that's just an FYI for everybody. Yay.
Yeah.
Is that it?
That's
I kept waiting for part two to come in. Like, this can't be it.
No, when you meet every week, there's not enough mail.
That's great.
Okay, so meetings. Our next meeting is the 23rd, and Hilma has a full schedule. What do we have on the 23rd? Parks and Rec.
Okay, it's
oh, is there going to meet with us?
Parks and Rec and Conservation Commission.
Yeah.
Together, and then like determining the three priorities or whatever you have for the DLTA.
Yeah.
And
any stuff from tonight that we couldn't do. Any follow-ups that we can.
Stuff from tonight.
Yeah. Okay.
And probably.
Oh, sorry, go ahead. Probably
not. Well, I don't know. Do you? I was thinking it might be advantageous if three of you have an initial discussion in preparation for January 26th.
Oh, yeah. So January 26th, I'd like to know, let's say that, we'll come back to this, if you are available for a meeting at 2 p.m.
On January 26th?
On January 26th, which is a Friday.
I don't know, what's it about?
I figured I would just leave it hanging and see if you're available.
We just want busier. One piece of information before we decide if we're available.
John.
I figured this was
Oh, Lord. Yes, I'm
available. What did you say? What time did you say?
2 p.m.
Yes.
Only for an hour, we're on there with Jonathan and. Well, because they've got that Fox thing at 3:30. And the board member,
President of the board of directors?
Yeah, one of the board of directors. Because we have to do with their contract for their lease. That fell behind because when Hilma was sick and stuff, we bumped that out to this January. But I really would like it if we could meet because I'd like to get this as close to complete before the end of January as possible.
That's pretty close.
Okay. And will you send a copy of the contract to Sue and Lisa so that they can look at it?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so then we could put on the 23rd for the three of us a little review of it before that. And I can answer any questions you have before we sit down.
Okay.
So if you read it, and then Sue knows already about that. So.
Yep.
Well, it's a 1-year lease. It gets renewed every year. If it's not right at the end of the year, it's right at the beginning of the new year, so that's why I'd like to get it in.
Okay.
And they always have some requests that they'll bring forth, and then we just try to figure it out.
So
make an agreement and move on.
Is this a Board of Select meeting?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Because the three of us are there.
Yep.
So it's kind of a posted thing.
Yep.
So the sooner you get that information to me, the better. Because it's something to be on vacation for. We're going to have to do a little study on vacation.
This is
so the lease.
While I'm sitting here.
Yeah.
It's not an executive session.
No.
Yes, certainly. That would be helpful for me. Thank you.
So the lease itself is pretty much the same, has been the same for the last couple of years, but there's an attachment that gets added each year with some special requests or some extra asks that they have that we put in writing attached to it.
Okay.
Like last year they asked for the ability to do some painting in here with blue so they can put their hangings up.
Mm-hmm.
They asked for a switch out of a sink to a slop sink, mm-hmm. or the vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
Sink to slop sink.
One slop.
And so little things like that usually have something to ask us from us as the landlord. And
how long has he been working?
This would
be
the third year.
Oh,
this is the third year.
So going into the third year or completing the third year?
Going into. And that lease was reviewed by town council back when it was started. Actually, the release form was acquired through council.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't.
Right.
It's pretty easy.
Okay.
All right. What else? So we'll add that to our meeting, that's what I was saying, so we can talk about it a little briefly before the 26th.
That'd be great.
And that's it. If there's anything that straggles, if we need to put a little something else on the 26th while we're here, we can if we need to. I think that meeting will go on. They have something that they do on Friday here on that day.
That's one of their after school days.
Yeah.
So it's really only should be an hour meeting, is that what we're doing?
Yeah.
And it should be.
Okay.
Hour and a half top. Okay. If we add anything else in.
Okay.
And I think that's what I have. Anything else from you?
Well, just, I guess, two little pieces of information. Berkshire Signs redid the two building signs up in the center.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. They said the same things. So that is done. Oh, I asked about adding the bottom part of the community hall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cost megabucks.
Really?
Yeah.
Good lord. Everything's expensive today. Everything is expensive.
Mm-hmm.
What is it, out of curiosity, when you say megabucks?
Yeah, how much?
Did they say, like, give like a guesstimate?
Well, it kind of gave a range if you do this, if you do that, but like 800 to 1100.
You gotta be kidding me.
No.
Can we make it? Ourselves?
No.
Somebody? A woodworker?
No.
Because once I went into town center just to really again look at.
It's a good idea.
Oh,
it's a nice save.
That was a great idea.
Oh, I like that. Well, I like it just because it does draw your eyes go to it.
Absolutely. I mean, that's a phenomenal idea.
It is annoying.
Well, yes. Or there is money in the community hall. Revolving fund.
This is true.
If it's something that we really thought would help promote the usage of community hall.
I think you better get the building open first, personally.
Right.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, just saying.
Yeah, so all right. That's something to think about.
I was going to say something else. Sorry. Oh! I got all the budget request worksheets out.
Oh, I was just going to ask you. I was going to ask you, what's the due date?
Okay, I changed it because the date was January 18th, and that's not. I didn't feel like that was fair, quite honestly, so I changed it to January 25th. And since you're not meeting with finance committee until February 13th or whatever, there'll be plenty of time. Yes, I've already gotten two back.
Two?
Yeah.
Somebody. You weren't the first one?
No, you were second.
Who was first?
Nick.
Oh.
Was it just that?
Yes. Nick was like, oh yeah, this looks okay. Nick can also come February 27th.
Okay. All right. What else?
I just had a little side note. It's not town business, but Ruth Johnson is celebrating her 95th birthday on the 14th.
Yep.
And so they are inviting anybody who knows her and would like to send a birthday card.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Who's that? You say that. Who's that?
I think it's her family.
Her family? Oh. And Victoria, she was the one who told us about it today.
She's not in the post it on all around the Facebook page too.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Oh, is she going to get the golden cane thing?
And
where are we?
Would you like a motion to adjourn?
I was just going to say that she started.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. Yes, I would like one.
Okay. It hasn't been presented to her yet. I asked Mary about it beginning of the week, and she's like, yeah, it's just been an issue of, because I guess somebody in the family would like to have four generations of family all present when it gets presented to her, and between illness and that, it hasn't been figured out.
Okay, just want to make sure I didn't miss it.
No. Four generations? Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, yep.
All of them, or just?
Oh, heavens, I know not.
No. A representative?
No, I think just
somebody.
The local, some of the local ones.
That's like Rebecca and her daughter, right?
No. She's Ruth Corey.
So who are other local people? So there's local grandchildren here?
Robin Jenkins is her daughter.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And then
Robin's son
Tucker.
But then there's also Ruth's son, Pete, in South Deerfield, is, I believe at least one of his sons is relatively local, and then his son has a son. So this, yeah.
Well,
and then there's some that now live in Greenfield.
The ones that live in the pool house in the center, those are her relatives, aren't they?
Well, they're step relatives. Benny Johnson.
Yeah.
It's her stepdaughter-in-law.
I move we adjourn.
Yeah.
I'll second that motion.
All in favor?
Sue, aye.
Elisa, aye.
I'm like, I'm not calling your name.